Librarian Nancy Pearl is with us once again. She sent along a list of reading recommendations, and they are memoirs this time, a series of memoirs. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Steve.
She's in our studios. And do you mind if I just get a little exercise here by lifting this stack of, pretty big stack of books, as it often is? The first one is The Hare with Amber Eyes by Edmund DeWall.
Yes, and I have to say first that I have a love-hate relationship with memoirs. I know that memoirs are inherently filled with ego and the me of memoir.
It's all about me, yes.
Yes, and memoir is M-E-M-O-I-R. That makes sense. But I tend not to read, and I certainly don't like the what I call the Children of Job memoirs.
Which is?
I'm suffering. Oh, how I've suffered. Yeah. What I'm looking for in a memoir is really interesting characters and very, very, very good writing.
Do you find it then with The Hare with Amber Eyes?
The Hare with Amber Eyes, I have to say, is the best work of nonfiction I read this year. It's the story of the author's ancestors who were very wealthy Jewish bankers in the late 19th and 20th centuries. Mm-hmm. The founder, the main character of his ancestors that he talks about is his great uncle named Charles, who collected 246 netsukis, the Japanese carvings that men used to wear in their sashes.
Okay.
And this is the story of how, through the tumult of World War I and World War II, those netsukis were passed down through various family members. So looking at the path of those, he can chart what happened to his family. And his family, Charles Afruzzi, was the model for Swan in Proust's Swan's Way. There's so much art, there's so much culture, and it's so wonderfully written.
Here's another book on the stack, Half a Life by Darren Strauss.
Oh, Darren Strauss's book is wonderful. When Darren Strauss was a senior in high school, he was driving a car that hit one of his classmates on her bicycle, and she died. And although the accident was officially termed a no-fault liability, it changed his life.
May I read a couple of paragraphs
here?
And they've been placed individually on a page, an otherwise white page. My surest memories of that day are the reflector running up the windshield and the sunshine in the cracks as Dad got me home. I can imagine the flash of impact, of course, even if I'm unable to really call back much about it. But it's not hard to guess at the terrible scratched out details. The truth is, anyone with a TV can fill in this scene, taking snippets from the editing floor, plug-ins from the visual and sound effects library we all carry, pretty girl on bike, a shy little thud, hysterical windshield, and I'm somewhere in there too, trying to swerve, trying to disappear. Ooh.
I know, isn't that? And this event took place more than half his life ago, mm-hmm. and he's still, of course, coming to terms with that. He goes to the funeral of his classmate, and he goes back to talk to her parents. Her mother says to him, I know it was not your fault, Darren. They all tell me it was not your fault, but I want you to remember something. Whatever you do in your life, you have to do it twice as well now, because you are living it for two people. Can you promise me? Promise. I mean, that's just like, oh my gosh, heart-wrenching to read and to have that responsibility placed on you.
Nancy Pearl is giving us some memoirs here. Let's go to a book where the title is Stuffed by Patricia Volk. What's happening here?
Oh, this is a fabulous book. This is another family history. And I think what just sets this book apart from many other family histories is the love that Patricia Volk has for all of her extended family, even the weirdest ones. Her family did have restaurants in New York, so there is that kind of food connection. But you don't have to be a foodie, which I am certainly not, to love this book. There's this wonderful quote where she talks about her really beloved father and how her father taught her how to swim, speak French, drive, eat using the utensils American style, which nobody in America seems to do, be a spot welder, emboss, ride English, ride Western, merengue, sing pop songs from World War I, keep your head down, Fritzy boy, up through his favorite, the one that still chokes him up, although he's not sure why, younger than springtime, remove a splinter, sap a blister by sticking a knot, carve a Thanksgiving turkey, chop, dice, mince, etc. And it's wonderful to read a memoir where the family, for the most part, was very close and really loved one another. And certainly in Patricia Volk, they have the perfect chronicler.
Here's one called Encyclopedia of an Ordinary Life.
Yes, this is one of my all-time favorite books by Amy Krauss Rosenthal. And here's what she says in her foreword. She says, "I was not abused, abandoned, or locked up as a child. My parents were not alcoholics, nor were they ever divorced or dead. We did not live in poverty or in misery or in an exotic country. I am not a misunderstood genius, a former child celebrity, or the child of a celebrity."
It's going to be a short book.
"Yeah, I am not a drug addict, sex addict, food addict, or recovered anything. If indeed I had a past life, I have no recollection of who I was." I mean, how could you resist a book like that? And it's arranged in a very, very nice way. It's arranged
alphabetical order.
Alphabetical order. So it's like you're reading the index headings to these particular chapters.
We go to the letter D. The first entry is, there's an entry for deep massage.
Yes, right.
Part of her life. Deli right. Trays, the dentist, depressing, comma, things that I find depressing.
Right. There's a wonderful, wonderful chapter in there of how she talks her way out of a parking ticket. It's great. I love that book.
Okay, the next one here, The Bill from My Father, Bernard Cooper.
And Bernard Cooper in this book takes a familiar trope, difficult father, son trying to develop a relationship when the son is an adult, knowing all the time that he's disappointed his father entirely by not becoming an attorney and also by his homosexuality. Their relationship is not made any better by the fact that his father at one point sends him a bill for $2 million, which is the cost of raising him.
Oh.
You kind of shudder at the things his father did, but the way Bernard Cooper has come out of it and come to terms with who he is really a testament to him.
Nancy, thanks for coming by.
Oh, you're welcome, Steve.
Nancy Pearl's own new book is Book Lust to Go. The title there amounts to a four-word memoir of Nancy's life, I think. All of her recommendations, along with our best books of 2010 roundup, are at npr.org. You can follow this program on Twitter. We're at Morning Edition and at NPR Inskeep. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.